Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Since they shut down, schools and families in them have had to adapt quickly, and it hasn't always been easy. Superintendent Peter Light of the Acton-Boxborough Regional School District recognizes that struggle. In a letter to his community last week, Light wrote earnestly about the emotions behind the decision to close schools, the challenges of online learning, and his own struggles as a parent right now. Yet one simple message in the letter resonated above all. It will be okay. We don't have all the answers now, he wrote, but we will find them. Joining us now is Superintendent Light. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today.
I appreciate you joining us. Let me just start by, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's, certainly been a long stretch, but, I think we are in the middle of Teacher Appreciation Week and, you know, Principal Appreciation Week and School Nurses Appreciation Week. So, you know, I just want to give a shout out to all of those individuals because they play such an important role in all of our lives. But, you know, the work they're doing gives me a lot of hope. So I'm in a really good place.
I'm really glad to hear that. You know, you talked about a lot of different things in your letter. I think a great place to start is you wrote about a flood of communication from parents and how that changed. You know, they were in one place at one point and another and another. Describe what you've been hearing from parents and what are their biggest anxieties about the closure and this pivot?
Yeah, no, thank you. I think that's a great question. As we were leading up to the closure, I think what we heard from parents was an increasing anxiety around the virus and the health impacts that that could have on students and families and our educators. And after we closed, I think, you know, there was a bit of a reprieve for everyone and everyone felt like, you know, we have this for a couple of weeks. What we saw, though, is time went on over those few weeks. There was an increasing anxiety as we realized that we'd be closed for a longer period of time and eventually for the year. And I think that really turned into a lot of fear and loss of control over what was going to happen with, you know, their kids' education and our kids' education and my kids' education. And so, with that came a lot of the typical anxiety you would have when you lose control over something where you have a lot of heightened emotions. I certainly experienced them. I know a lot of our parents experienced them. And just, you know, trying to cope with the realities of the day-to-day challenges, but also managing what online schooling now looks like.
You had a lot of quotes in your letter of sort of conflicting pieces of feedback. And you said, at one point, you kind of felt like the only thing in common in what the parents were telling you was the exclamation points at the ends of their notes.
Yeah, I think, what we were hearing was just, you know, I think we're all a bit exasperated at this point and worried about what this means for our kids, whether we have graduating seniors who are missing out on all sorts of life opportunities, or whether we have, you know, current juniors thinking about what this means for college applications, or whether or not we have kindergartners and first graders trying to learn how to read. There are such huge educational impacts. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, parents' most prized, I hate to call it possession, but possession in their life, you know, there's a lot of emotion that goes with that. And that was the reference to the exclamation points.
Yeah, you just used the words exasperation and worry. You know, one of the reasons that we wanted to talk with you was this tone, this kind of transparency and honesty that was in your letter. I have teenagers in high school. I've seen a lot of letters from superintendents over the year. And as I was reading yours, I thought, gosh, this does not sound like an administrator. This sounds like a neighbor. Why did you give some vulnerability and decide to use that tone in this letter to the families in your community?
You know, I think I've had to actually think about that a lot because, looking back on it, I probably have different feelings than in the moment. I think some of it in the moment was just my own feelings of this conflict of being a parent and an educator and what does this all mean? But I think also, you know, I think as leaders, when we're in times of crisis like this, we have to make sure that essentially we're keeping it real for everyone. And we have to talk to people honestly about the challenges. And we also have to offer that there's hope at the end of all of this. And, you know, I think it was something that as you know, you listen to the news every day and you hear of, you know, all the tragedy that's going on, it's so hard to find those messages of hope. And, you know, you need to offer a real perspective, but then you have to offer the alternative as well. And I think I was trying to get to both in that letter.
And what's the response been like?
It's been surprising. The response from the community has been very positive. I think same thing for our educators. You know, what has been the nicest piece of all of it is I've received, you know, several hundred emails now in response to the letter. People are sharing their personal stories of what's going on in their homes. And I think by opening up a little bit about, you know, what goes on in my own life and my own challenges with my kids and all of this, not only our teachers, but our families have been comfortable sharing that. And I know from my perspective as a leader, being able to hear what is actually going on provides such valuable insight into our own planning and thinking about what we need to do for our students and families and teachers for that matter.
So when you put it out there, you really got it back.
I did. You know, I got back a lot more than I think I gave, which is, you know, the real gift of all of it is just being able to connect with people when we're not together.
One of the other things that was striking about your letter is you explain to families, you ask them to be forgiving and patient with teachers. You say it takes a lot of time to become good at teaching. And all of a sudden, the district has pivoted to this other way of teaching that isn't what teachers had practiced. What are you expecting from your teachers right now?
You know, we expect of our teachers, and we get more than we ever expect, I'll be honest. Our teachers have been absolutely incredible. And, you know, I've seen the work that they're doing and the connections they're making with families. You know, we have our teachers doing live online sessions on a daily basis with our students. They're also doing small group work, connecting with kids individually. They're reaching out to students that they may not have heard from very much on a personal basis. They're connecting with families. Our high school staff just had a huge 3.5-hour parade through the community in cars. I mean, it's really, truly overwhelming what our educators are willing to do and the lengths they go to for all of our students and families. So, you know, it's just astounding.
You're asking too, and this is striking in the letter, for the same forbearance, forgiveness, understanding for parents. You say parents should set, quote, reasonable expectations of themselves. And you say they're not always going to get it right, and, you know, and not every day is going to be perfect. Can you talk a little bit about that for families and parents too?
Yeah, you know, I was hearing more in our community about the struggles that people have. You know, we're having an increasing number of our families who are struggling with the loss of loved ones, who are struggling with, you know, sick family members. We're learning of families where one of the family members is now out of work. And they're also trying to manage their students' education in that incredibly stressful environment. And, you know, I think one of the things we know is that, you know, our primary concern for our students and our educators and our families has to be around their physical and emotional well-being. But we can't take care of our kids if the adults aren't taking care of themselves. And so I wanted to, you know, really just send a strong message to our families that as adults, we have to take care of ourselves because our kids are picking up on every nuance of what we do and how we behave. And so if we're in this distance learning environment where our teachers don't have access to our students every day, then we have to make sure our families are well so that our students are in that right environment and everyone's in the right mindset to be able to just do their best.
You're a parent and you've got kids at home learning online. How's it going for you and in your house?
It depends on the day and the minute. I think, you know, overall it's been a good experience. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it though. You know, schools have evolved for 150 years. And even though we've had the technology to be online for probably 10 to 15 years, we're still brick and mortar institutions. And I think this has shown why we do that. And it's for really good reason. There is that human connection that happens between students and teachers that is really the center of all learning. And I know my own kids have felt that being away from their teachers and being away from classmates. You know, seeing a Zoom conference just has its limitations in terms of the connections that you can make. So it's good. You know, the kids can complete their work. Some days are better than others. I'm fortunate to have two great kids. But, you know, I think, you know, we know that, you know, just because it's great one day doesn't mean it's great the next.
Are you worried about the long-term consequences of this kind of pause in learning on our kids?
You know, I have different levels of worry. I have a level of worry that, you know, there's certainly some that our kids have missed out on. We're going to have to figure that out. And I think of that as a superintendent. But I also have a lens that I know my own children have had some experiences that even being in school, they wouldn't have had. My family was just outside planting a garden earlier today. And that's something that, you know, I have a 13 and 15 year old and they've never planted a garden before. And so I think having some time and space in some ways has been good for kids. But I also do worry about some of the loss of learning. And, you know, I have a high school student who in a couple of years will be thinking about college applications. And there's that element as well. So the bottom line is, you know, we're in a complicated world right now. And, you know, there are positives and there are some negatives. And, you know, we all have to balance that out and try and keep our eyes on the prize.
You talked about fear in this conversation. You talk about it in the letter too. Do you think parents are afraid school won't come back in the fall? And are they afraid about what it'll look like if it does?
You know, I think it's so early in that conversation. I think the biggest fear right now is the unknown. We're hearing a lot of information about what things could look like, but there's really nothing definitive. So I think everyone's holding their breath a little bit. I know that, you know, there's a whole group of parents who need to think about getting back to work. And, you know, schools being open are really critical for those parents to be able to work and earn an income and feed their families. So I would absolutely imagine that there's a lot of fear in that, or that schools won't be on regular schedules. I think there's a lot of fear of, you know, kids learning gaps that have opened up, particularly for some of our most vulnerable students.
That's Peter Light, the superintendent of schools in Acton-Boxborough Regional School District. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And we'll have a link to the letter he wrote to his school community at radioboston.org.